A heart that is healthy is a life that is wealthy. Listen. Wealthy in the Lord, that is. A healthy heart is a fruitful heart. A healthy heart is a strong heart. And a healthy heart is a God-glorifying heart. That is the heart that we are going after within this series.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so thankful that you have joined us here today at Live in the Light. Live in the Light is a radio ministry that believes strongly that when God's word is revealed, radical transformation can come about. Now today in our passage, we're going to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, continuing on in our study of what a healthy heart looks like. And I think this passage, Romans 12, 2, is so fitting for us this day, this world today, as it looks out across and makes these great resolutions and these plans for the future. Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So that's a great resolution as we start today. And Robbie, we're going again in our series on healthy heart. Where are we going to specifically? What's God's word have for us today?
Right, we're learning here that the healthy heart really constitutes three main areas of our lives: our minds, our affections, and our will. And most people, when they associate the heart biblically, they just think of feelings or affections, and that's part of it, but it's not all of it. In fact, the starting point for the Lord to have our hearts is that He must have our minds, because how we think will really determine how we behave. We're going to find that out today. So the principle of renewing your mind, I believe, is a top five principle for the entire Christian life. It's where everything begins. Again, how you think determines how you behave, determines how you live, it determines where you go, what you do, and ultimately who you are. So if we're going to have a healthy heart, we must have a healthy mind. And that's why Romans 12, as you just read, verses 1 and 2, are absolutely fundamental to really having a mind in tune with the Lord, but having a heart that's following the Lord. So listen, this year, 2015, loved ones, our listeners, this could be your greatest year yet if you let God have the strongest say through your life. And can I just add this too? We're so thankful that you decided to join us in this first day of this new year. And we're praying you'll continue to join us and continue to listen in as we start this series on the heart, but also as we go through this year, seeking to see lives changed through the revelation of the truth of God. So just a genuine bless you and love you. And we're excited that you partner with us as we seek to see the gospel go forth in the nations that we love.
Well, as we like to say at this time too, if you'd like to get more information on Live in the Light, please make sure you visit our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, that's a great resolution for all of us here today as we examine the heart, gunning for a renewed mind. Pastor Robbie takes us now to Romans 12 and verse 2.
Romans chapter 12, looking at the first two verses. We're at the second week of our series called Healthy Heart. And the goal is obvious. Amen. The goal is obvious. We want healthy hearts for the Lord here because a heart that is healthy is a life that is wealthy. Listen. Wealthy in the Lord, that is. A healthy heart is a fruitful heart. A healthy heart is a strong heart. And a healthy heart is a God-glorifying heart. That is the heart that we are going after within this series. Last week we learned this, that the Bible teaches the heart consists of three main areas: the mind, the affections, and the will. Yes, let's say it together. Ready? The mind, the affections, and the will. We learned last week the heart is divided In the Bible, it's all one, yet three parts: the mind, the affections, and the will. When the Bible speaks of the heart, then not just emotions, not just feelings, it's our whole being. So therefore, we learn this: where your heart goes, you will go with it. Because our heart, we learned, is our root. And it's the root of our lives which determines all of our fruit. That's why then our tagline is, a heart that's led biblically will be a life that is lived fruitfully. And today what we learn then is a healthy heart must then equal a healthy mind. And a healthy mind equals a mind that is renewed. I absolutely believe the truth that today we learn one of the top five principles in the Christian life. Let me say that again. I believe today we encounter and we learn one of the top five principles of the Christian life. You never ever move beyond this truth here today, loved ones. You never get it one day and you don't have to apply it the next. As long as we're here on this earth and Christ has not yet returned, this principle applies to your life and mine every single day. Let me put this chart up on the screen for you here to help you out of where we're going today. This is the process of renewing your mind. Have you realized this in your life yet? Listen, what you fill your mind with, now this happens for good or for bad. Whatever you look at, whatever you read, whatever you listen to, whatever you believe, whatever fills your mind will form your thoughts. Whatever you fill your mind with, that will form your thoughts. That's just the way it works. You look at something, you read something, you think it, and then it starts to percolate in your mind. It forms your thoughts, and whatever forms your thoughts will forge in your life your behavior. You cannot avoid filling your mind with certain things and then not following that path of thoughts leading to behavior. And this just in, wherever your behavior goes, that's where you will find your fruit. The fruit of your life, if you back it up, really depends on solely and exclusively what you fill your mind with. Now, this is great when it's the things of God. But just as easily, it's evil. If you fill your mind with bad or evil or impure thoughts, then you will find yourself thinking that way, you will find yourself behaving that way, and then you will find yourself living that way as in the fruit of your life. This is the critical imperative principle you have to understand and preach to yourself over and over and over again throughout your life. No one is exempt from this. What you fill your mind with will eventually become what you find your fruit to be. And this is why then the mind is such a critical component of the healthy heart. Much of the battleground for the heart occurs in the mind. Not all of it exclusively, but a huge portion of it occurs in the mind. And that's why we seek to renew our minds then today, which we need to so much. And I'm excited to do that. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, if there was ever a weekend to have a Bible open, this is it, all right? This is it, because this is the whole principle, renewing your mind by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God as well. The way you renew your mind is by God's Word. So that very decision to bring a Bible to church is a decision of health. Any church that closes the Bible is making a decision for unhealthy things to happen in their midst. Let's do a Bible check. Who's got a Bible in the house tonight? Anyone got a Bible? Hold up high, man. Be proud, man. It's the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Look around. Be encouraged, right? This is a decision to get our mind going in the right direction and to cause us then to be healthy men and women in God. Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, our message today is going to camp out in verse 2, but you can't understand verse 2 until you fully feast on verse 1. Look at verse 1 again. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Let's stop right there for a second. As you come to Romans chapter 12, you must understand what has preceded it in Romans chapters 1 to 11. Paul says, I appeal. He's appealing there, and he says, I appeal therefore. The therefore there is based on the 11 chapters of doctrine that comes before chapter 12. He says, I appeal to you therefore by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? That's the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a short phrase, he has summarized the previous 11 chapters. He went through 11 chapters of God glorifying, Christ exalting, cross-centered, gospel-driven writing and exhortation and teaching to his readers. Paul here has laid down the doctrine of the cross, of the gospel for 11 chapters, and now he goes from doctrine to appealing for our duty. He has gone from a belief, and now he's seeking to go for our behavior. Romans 12 then, in light of the book of Romans, Romans 12 becomes a massive turning point in this letter. Here's what Paul's arguing. He's arguing this. Because you've been saved in Christ, because you've been chosen in Christ, redeemed in Christ, adopted as a son of God in Christ, because you've been loved by Christ, now you must live for Christ. The rest of verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul's point is this: you can't be truly saved and then just sit there. You cannot be truly saved. Another place in Scripture we find, you can't be truly saved and just sit there. Rather, those who are truly saved will find a growing longing to respond to the reality of their salvation. How? But how do people respond to the fact that Jesus Christ has saved them? One word: worship. This is your spiritual worship, he says. Again, to receive Christ's life is to respond then with your life in worship. What does worship look like in verse 1? It looks like present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's much that could be said here, but for the purposes of our series, I want to sit on the phrase present your bodies. Present your bodies is not limited to our actual physical bodies that we possess. This appeal here, present your bodies, it's a call for the entire person. A legitimate translation of present your bodies could be yield yourselves. Yield yourselves as a living sacrifice. In fact, according to one commentator, he says this phrase embraces the whole of the person. And listen, he says this, and encompasses the mind, the emotions, the will, and the physical being. Did you hear that? The phrase then, present your bodies, is present your whole person as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ, to God, in worship, which includes your mind, your affections, your will, and your physical being. To present your bodies is really to present all of yourself. So what I need us to see then here, although the word is not used in verse 1, the truth is being conveyed. What does it mean to worship Christ in light of the mercies of God, in light of the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross? What does worship mean? It means this: I give the Lord my heart. I give the Lord my whole being. I present my heart to my God. This means this then in Romans 1, Romans 12 verse 1, the greatest sacrifice I will bring, the greatest worship I give, is the surrender of my heart. So are you picking up what the Holy Spirit's putting down here? One of the greatest ways that we cultivate worship in our lives in light of what Christ has done is by cultivating a healthy heart. The question then becomes this: how do I cultivate a healthy heart of worship according to Romans 12 verses 1 and 2? This is how I cultivate a healthy heart. I must renew my mind. So think about it. 11 chapters of incredibly beautiful doctrine. One verse, Romans 12, 1, in a powerful call for worship. And then one more verse in Romans 12, verse 2, with the explanation of how I do this. How do we worship God? How do we respond as a living sacrifice? Verse 2 says this: by the renewal of the mind. And this takes us to our outline then, which is this. The renewal of my mind is absolutely fundamental to my heart. I want to say that again because I want you to get it. This is too important. The renewal of my mind is absolutely fundamental to my heart because number one, this, it transforms me. The renewing of my mind transforms me. When my mind is renewed by the Word of God through the Spirit of God, I am transformed to be like the Son of God. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In the Greek here, there's an and between verses 1 and 2. The ESV doesn't include it here. I point that out to strengthen the unity between verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 is the call for change. Verse 2 is the how of change. Again, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The first command here is just as important as the second command. And the first command in verse 2 is do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Do not be conformed to this world. The meaning here speaks of the activities of people where God is excluded. Listen to that. Being conformed to this world means it's the activities of people where God is excluded. Another way of saying this is, do not let the world mold you into its form. Don't let the world shape you into what it looks like. That is why chameleon Christians stink. Because chameleon Christians, they profess to know Christ, but they walk into the world, and as a chameleon takes on all the surroundings to look just like it belongs, the chameleon Christian goes in and assumes the surroundings of the world and begins to look like the world, talk like the world, and act like the world. That's not good. That's not good. Christians, salt and light in this earth, are to be looking different, acting different, and talking different. Please understand this. You can love the world powerfully and still be different. You figure that out yet? You can love the world as Christ loved the world and yet still be different. But in our day, there's this temptation in order to love the world, you have to become the world. It's subtle, but it happens. People say, well, Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors. I don't like that argument. It happens all the time. Have you read your Bible? You read your Bible on the occasions where Jesus hangs out with prostitutes or sinners or tax collectors, and I did it today. And it seems like every time it says, and Jesus was there, and the sinners and tax collectors drew near to Christ. It's amazing. They drew near to Christ. Christ could not be more different than the sinner, the prostitute, or the tax collector, yet they were drawn to him. Why? Because he was different. Jesus Christ doesn't need a sales job. Jesus Christ, the very fact that he is so much different than the world is why he's so attractive and so appealing, because he is the sinless one. He is the majestic one. He is our Savior. He is God. He is the ruler of the universe. He is the forgiver of our sins. And so if he's like the world, he's nothing else to offer, but he's not like the world. And so anyone says you got to go in the world to be like the world, yeah, in the world, not of the world. But understand, love the world, but you're supposed to be different than the world. You're not supposed to talk the same language. You're not supposed to fit in all the time. You're not supposed to be liked in every circumstance. You're not supposed to be understood by everyone you meet. In fact, the Bible promises the opposite. And the whole point is to say you can love the people around you by being very different in Jesus Christ. You won't be popular in every case, but I believe you will be used just as Christ was, being so different where he was. All that to say this, I think by far one of the leading causes of spiritual heart disease is worldliness. It's worldliness. And what's worldliness? Worldliness is any time you and I live in the flesh as opposed to the spirit. Wherever we live in the flesh, we are finding ourselves being conformed to the world. Think about it. In the Old Testament, the single greatest cause of Israel's demise over and over and over again was because they forgot their God and they became like the world around them. They ignored their deliverer and they worshiped wood or they worshiped gold. They worshiped idols. And not surprisingly then, the single greatest reason that Christians in our day get spiritual heart disease is they become like the world around them. And this was the temptation of Israel. This was the temptation of the Roman church that Paul is writing to. And this is our temptation for our church here today as well. You see, one of the first steps of biblical wisdom and renewing your mind is to understand that the world around us is slick, it's subtle, it's seductive, and it's sinful. How many churches and ministries and individuals have gone in saying, "Ah, it's harmless. It's harmless." And they've come out saying, "Wow, I'm fruitless." You know, Jill and I, many times we have conversations and we're together, and whether it's a form of media or even a song on the radio, and we will say to ourselves in some way, it's a little bit cliche, but it works for us, and we say, "Now, if Jesus was sitting here right now with us, would this be okay?" And it's amazing how that filter seems to work really well for us. And how many times that we would say, "You know what? It's pretty hard to justify what we're doing right now if Christ was here with us." Because you can rationalize it, but when you put that filter up, and all of a sudden the answer seems to become pretty clear, it's not okay. In fact, Jill and I were on a plane together this week, just the two of us. Unbelievable. It's a miracle. No kids. On a plane together this week, and we were on our way back home to Toronto, and one of those planes where the movie screen was in front of you. And I like to laugh, and I like comedies. And there was this comedy that was one of the choices, and Jill and I began to watch it. But pretty clearly, about 10 or 15 minutes into this movie, it became pretty clear that this was not going to be an exercise that will benefit us in the ways of Jesus Christ. I said to Jill, I said, "This isn't going to work." She's like, "I agree." You turn it off. You turn it off. Will this movie help me to become more like Jesus Christ? The answer was clearly no. Interesting, though, my flesh was like, "Leave it on. It's funny." But my spirit said, "It's sinful. It's not right. It's not helping. It's the system of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Now, hear what I'm not saying. I'm not advocating separation from this world as in legalistic bubble living. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I totally am advocating, actually, check that. What the Bible is advocating in verse 2 is wisdom within the world. In fact, that's not strong enough. The Bible says this: don't become like the world. Right there. Do not be conformed to this world. Here's a bottom line. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can fill your life with idolatry and still love Christ wholeheartedly. Don't believe that lie, loved ones. Don't believe you can fill your life with the idols of this world and somehow still find yourself loving Christ with all your heart. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot make something your form of worship and somehow Jesus Christ will remain at the top of your list of affections. It will not happen. Romans 8:13 says, "If you live by the flesh, you will die. If you are conformed to the world, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body or the flesh, you will live." Be conformed to the world and die. Be renewed your mind by the power of God and the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and you will live. That's why this command is so straightforward. Do not be conformed to this world. But here's the big but there. See the big but in verse 2? But instead, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Again, I believe this is a top five Christian principle for our lives. You never move beyond it, okay? As water is to grass, the renewal of my mind is to my heart. The word "but" here provides a strong contrast. In other words, forget about being conformed. Forget about following after the world and being shaped into its thing. How about being transformed? How about being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Please notice how the transformation occurs. The transformation occurs in this verse by the renewal of your mind. So according to our context then, the single most important daily step we take towards transformation is the renewing of our minds. And how do we renew our minds again? It's through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. No exaggeration here, no truth. There is no transformation apart from the renewal of your mind by the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God. And this is why then this daily renewal is so critical. Listen. One of the greatest reasons this daily renewal is so critical is because your heart and my heart cannot be trusted. Do you know that? Your heart. You think you know your heart, you don't. You think you know where you're at, but you don't. Your heart and my heart can't be trusted. Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. Wow. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Not my words, God's word. And desperately sick, the heart is. Who can understand it? So whenever you approach your heart, you must approach it with great suspicion. This is the motivation for daily renewal. Every day you wake up, loved ones, you have to look at your heart and approach your heart with tremendous suspicion because you understand you cannot really know your heart, and your heart is always looking to become something other than a spirit-led follower of Jesus Christ when it's operating in the flesh. So part of our travel this week, standing in an airport security line. I was standing in this busy line and kind of sort of sit there and watch all the business, people lining up, people rushing in, going through the security process at the airport. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. All these people bummed up together. And I looked around and I said, this entire process of the security to get into the terminal is totally operating on one thing, distrust. Everything there is about, I don't trust you or anything about you. That's why I got to show my passport 6 times and my boarding pass 6 times, take off my belt, take off my shoes, put all my stuff through the thing. They don't trust anyone or anything. The whole thing operates out of distrust. Everyone is suspicious. No one can be trusted. Everyone is assumed guilty unless they're proven innocent. That is the same way you and I got to approach our hearts. Every single day we have to approach our hearts with distrust. And we have to assume our heart is guilty until it's proven innocent as the word of God comes and renews our minds according to the thoughts of God as according to our thoughts. You must approach your hearts every day with great suspicion. See, loved ones, look right here. If you understand this, you will have tremendous incentive to open up God's word. See, again, we are moving so far beyond check marks in God's word in this series right now. So far beyond, oh, I got to do my Bible reading again. Forget that. For your Bible reading again. You got to live for Jesus Christ again. Forget this like, oh, I got to do it. I'm going to do it right now. And hey, I did it. I mean, I'm so done with that. I need to read this word because I want to survive in Jesus Christ. Because I need to have my mind cleansed of all the filth and all the junk. So tired of me. More and more I talk about this, man. Here's the reality. My heart, John Calvin said, is an idol factory. My heart is a factory of idols. John Calvin, I'm wearing this one weekend, the whole weekend during a message. I'm going to do that. Because if you don't understand this, man, you won't realize why the mind needs to be renewed and why it's so important. Because there is no transformation apart from the renewal of the mind. This is why it's absolutely fundamental. Am I making my point? Is it getting across? See, but you'll know if it's really getting across when you do something about it. When you act upon it, when this becomes not just a habit you do, but a necessary part of feeding your soul and your mind and your heart every single day. The mind informs our affections. The mind trains our wills to choose what is right. And that is why the foremost battle for our heart is most often fought in the territory of our minds. And that's precisely why then I use this image that when I renew my mind, I say this, I am flushing the toilet of my mind.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.